All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate our, I want to call them singers, but I think technically the word is vocalist. Okay. I didn't really plan for like a Thanksgiving type service. And I saw Nick in the parking lot yesterday about lunchtime. Like, hey, Nick, why don't we do something Thanksgiving? Can you get three specials? And it's like, sure, whatever you want. I'm like, good, you'll get paid this week. But I appreciate our singers, our vocalists, the last minute being willing to do that. Look at your notes there. Psalm chapter 100, of course, the prototypical psalm or verses in the Bible about Thanksgiving. In fact, we have a little children's program here this afternoon before the end of school, and one of them read these verses. I forgot who did. Psalm chapter 100. I see what time it is, just to let you know that. We will not be long. I will talk fast. You listen fast. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Of course, in a couple days, we have Thanksgiving, and we know that Thanksgiving is a holiday, and it's time with family. By the way, that's a good thing. And it's a time of feasting. That's a good thing. And for a lot of people, it's a time of football. That can be a good thing, depending on what team you follow. But we understand how Thanksgiving started. And it was a time of thanking God for all that he had done for them. And I think that that's what it should be for us too. Nothing wrong with family, nothing wrong with food or any of the fellowship or whatever you'll do on that day. But Thanksgiving is more than turkey. By the way, I like traditional Thanksgiving meal. How many of you like traditional? Well, you know, I like fish. Well, there's an altar. Get right with God anytime you want, okay? Give me turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and gravy, not cranberries, olives, okay? Pumpkin pie. I used to say with Cool Whip, and my wife's like, you might as well eat the plastic that the Cool Whip comes in. And for years, I'm like, get over it. And she kindly converted me. We now do the whipped cream. You shoot it out of a can. I love, hey, grandkids, come here, open your mouth real quick. They can't breathe. But we have a really good time. But it's not about food. Here's a little story I heard. A lady was looking for a turkey for her family, and she's picking through all the frozen turkeys. She couldn't find one big enough for her family. Little stock boy comes by. She goes, hey, do these things get bigger? And he goes, no, they're dead. Thank you for that. Okay. I should be a comedian. Unemployed comedian, probably. But what does it mean to be thankful? I want to share a little few thoughts tonight about being thankful. Whenever I talk about thankfulness, these are the definitions I'm going to give you, because really, these are the best definitions I've seen when it comes to being thankful. Expressing heartfelt appreciation to God and to others for the ways in which they have blessed my life. That's Thanksgiving, okay? God and others. You know, well, I'm a self-made man. Nobody is. There, God is working in the background, and others. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't work hard or you didn't put in your time or you didn't give effort, but ultimately, it's the help of God and others and the ways they've blessed your life. Also, thankfulness is specifically making known to God and others in what ways they have blessed my life. Someone has said, if something is not specific, it's not dynamic. In other words, you've been a blessing to me. If someone's been a blessing to you in a specific way, tell them how they've been a blessing to you in that specific way. If God's been, when you pray and you're being thankful to God, if God's done something very specific for you, thank God for what he has specifically done for you. Now, here's something that's just totally mind-boggling. I came up with this by myself. I'm very proud of myself. Thanksgiving means giving thanks. Am I brilliant? it took me all day to figure that out. Okay. All you do is cut the word in half, flip the words, and you got it. It's giving of thanks. That's all that it is. And I hope that we have a thankful card. Thanksgiving involves two individuals, God and others. God and others. If you can't think of anybody that you can be thankful for something they've done for you, you are either ignorant or you're proud. Okay? Think about it. Someone has invested in your life in some way. God has invested in your life. There's no such thing as a self-made individual. Not long ago, there was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Very rich man, ran this very wealthy company. Him and his wife pull into a service station. While he's getting his gas, his wife gets out of the car and starts talking to a service attendant there. And they got done, and she comes back to the car, and he goes, "What was that all about?" She goes, "Oh, that's a guy I used to go to high school with." "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, the fact of the matter is we used to date." "Huh." So they're driving down the road, and the husband says, I bet I know what you're thinking. I bet you're thinking you're glad that you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a gas station attendant." She looked at him and said, not quite. I was thinking if I'd have married him, he'd be the Fortune 500 CEO and you'd be the gas station attendant. Okay, probably a lot of truth to that, right? Let me give you a couple thoughts about Thanksgiving. Number one, Thanksgiving is a big deal. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3:2. "For men shall be lovers of them own, of their own selves," talking about really the end times, the times in which we live. "Covetous," that we're there. "Boasters," proud. "Blasphemers," disobedient to parents. "Unthankful," unholy. Now it's amazing that disobedient to parents and unthankful are running with very bad company. We would not put unthankful in a list with blasphemers. We wouldn't, would we? They're right there. God mentions a bunch of bad stuff. And in the midst of the bad stuff, he also mentions unthankful. What does that tell me? That tells me that when we're not thankful, that's bad. And it is a big deal to God. God wants us to be thankful. Why? Look at the verse there, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Because that is God's will for us." It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, people wonder, what does God really want me to do with my life? What does God want from me? Well, the Bible specifically says right here, there's one thing we know for sure God wants from us. There's one thing we know for sure is God's will. He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to thank him and to praise him in everything. We ought to thank God daily for everything and the provisions that he gives us. H.A. Ironstein was an old preacher in the 50s. He was in a restaurant about to begin his meal. A man approached and asked if he could join him. Ironside invited him to have a seat. Then, as was his custom, Ironside bowed his head in prayer. When he opened his eyes, the other man said, "Do you have a headache?" Ironside replied, "No, I don't." The other man asked, "Well, is there something wrong with your food?" Ironside replied, "No, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you're one of those, aren't you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog. He doesn't give thanks either." Okay. Being thankful is a big thing. God wants us to be thankful. The reason people are miserable in this life, they're not thankful. You know, and some of us, our bent is maybe to find things that are not right. You know, we're the ones that see the black dot on the white paper, okay? But we need to change that. If we're Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. So Thanksgiving is a big deal. Number two, Thanksgiving is often ignored. We just don't do it. We know we should. We know it's a good spirit. We know it's a good thing, but we just don't do it for some reason. Why? Let me give you a couple reasons. Letter A, because of our natural discontentment. You see, we always want more. Isn't that true? You give a kid one piece of candy, and they'll want more. If I offered the children up here like, hey, take as much as you want when they came by, we'd have to have a barrel of candy. That's just how it is. And we're like that too. We always want more. We're never satisfied with anything that we have. By the way, just so we understand this, the Big Ten, God's commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house and all the different things there. Why? What does covet mean? We want something somebody else has. We're never content with what we have. We always want more, and we look at others and what they have, and we want what they have. By the way, we're not even in their shoes. We have no idea what's going on. God is in control, and he knows what we need. We can never be content with what we have when we are solely focused on what we want. We're discontent. Letter B, because of our belief that we deserve more. Do you know people believe that? Well, I just deserve more out of life. I don't deserve that. You know what we deserve? We deserve nothing. We deserve hell. And anything God gives us that's not hell is a blessing. If you've done any amount of witnessing at all, you'll knock on a door. Hey, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? You'll talk to them, you know. Now, I believe hell is on this earth. You've got a rude awakening coming, cowboy. There is nothing on this earth that's like hell. But we don't deserve anything. But we always think we do deserve a lot more. Why don't we thank God for what we have? Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I always say jokingly, Mormons believe that you can become your own God. If any of us became our own God, no one would want to live on our planet. We'd wipe them out the first time they irritated us. God is very, very merciful. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all. God saved me because I wanted him, and I was a good candidate. You were never a good candidate. There was nothing you could do that would make God want to save you because of what you did. God saved you and gave you the opportunity to trust Christ because he loved you, even though we turned our own way. We can be thankful for that. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. There are some people that would die for other people. Now for your family, you would willingly do it. But some would even do it for a stranger. But who would do it for somebody who's not even good or who we would consider worthy? God would. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in rebellion to God, while we didn't want him, God died for us. Jesus Christ died for us. We don't deserve anything. Everything God gives us is because of his grace. Letter C, because of a lack of awareness. Because of our lack of awareness. What do I mean by that? We are not aware of what we have because we don't think about what we have. Someone has said, I heard it many, many years ago, we are not thankful because we don't think. I have nothing to be thankful for. Did you get out of bed today? You got up. There's people that can't get up. Did you eat today? Apparently, yes. There are people that, I heard something that well more than over half of this world's population goes to bed hungry every night. You ate today, right? You see, we just don't think. We are blessed beyond measure. And the reason we don't get it and we gripe and we complain, and I'll throw myself in there, is because We just don't think. We're not aware of it. Psalm 63, verse 4 and 6. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate of thee in the night watches. You ever wake up in the middle of the night, maybe you can't get right back to sleep right away? You know what you should do? Just start thinking about God and his goodness. Think about what God's done for you, okay? Just think about it. You know, there's so much he's done, and the reason we don't get it, because we don't think about it. Letter D, because of our lack of appreciation, we are forgetful for what he has already done. You know, some things that maybe God did in our past we're excited about, we've completely forgot all about it. We forgot how excited we were when God saved us. We forgot how excited we were when little things in life he started adding up and started doing for us. We don't remember where God brought us from. In 1860, a boat called the Lady Elgin was rammed by the Augusta, and it sank in Lake Michigan. There was a ministerial student named Edward Spencer by the shore, and he waded into the cold, frigid water 17 times and pulled people who were hurt and drowning out of the water and pulled them to safety. Because of that time in the water and the amount of time he spent, it permanently damaged his health. He suffered with ill health the rest of his life because of what happened that day. By the way, he didn't have to go in. He said years later, towards the end of his life, that not one person that of the 17 that he rescued had ever thanked him for it. I would hope that if someone saved my life, I would thank them. Well, Jesus saved my soul. And God saves our life on a daily basis. But we just are not appreciative. Isaiah 51:1, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Now for some of us that got saved maybe a little later in life, it's easier for us to look back at our life sometimes and see what God has done and be appreciative. You know, the farther down we were, the easier it is to appreciate how high we've been brought. But for many of you, you've been fortunate enough to have families that have raised you in church. And you were, you know, all of my children have been in church, you know, since their first week of birth in the nursery. It'd be easy for them not to, you know, they don't have the bad past and all the drama and the nonsense and being involved and all the whatever. So they can't look back at that and say, thank God he saved me from that life. But you know, if we look back, we would think God did save you from that life. I've given the story before. There was a guy, I think his name was Ray Hart. He was a piano player many years ago. And as a brand new Christian, he came to our church at Gethsemane. He was a piano player. He played music and give his testimony. And he said, I want to thank God that God saved me out of a life of drugs. And I thought, he doesn't look like a former drug addict. You know, and I was pretty fresh from that life seeing that. I kind of knew what it looked like. He didn't look like it. He goes, God saved me from a life of adultery. And I'm thinking, well, that's, wow, he must have had some issues. And then he almost lost me. He goes, God saved me from a life of homosexuality. I'm like, man, I thought I shook his hand. And I'm like, he doesn't look like that. And then he goes, I got saved at the age of 5, and God saved me from ever doing any of those things. Okay? You have a lot to be thankful for. You can look back and say, Lord, you kids, and I'm not preaching at you, but I'll just throw this out there. Sometimes you look at that life and like, I'm missing out. You're missing out on nothing. Thank God he saved you from that junk. Some of you that are dabbling in that, you need to get over that. All right, number three. Oh, it's going to be thankful. Number three, learn to be thankful. The key word is there is learn. Like anything else, thankfulness is a learned behavior. You say, it's not natural to me. It's not natural to me either. But we have to make it that way. How do you do that? I'm just going to give these to you. We'll read the verses and we'll be done. Learn contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And we've preached about that this summer. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have, what's that word? Learned. in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Well, I just have a tendency to be discontented, and you know, it's just one of my weaknesses and flaws. He says, I learned. Your flaws don't have to be permanent. Your weaknesses don't have to be permanent. We learn as we're Christians, hey, you know what? I have a tendency to be discontent. Join the crowd. But we can learn contentment from God. Understand debt. You say, hey, I understand debt. The creditors keep calling me. Not that kind of debt. Okay? We'll help you with that at the beginning of next year. We owe God, what do I mean by that? We owe God a great deal. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, who? Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, so often we read through the Bible and we read a verse like that and we can memorize it and we don't stop and think about it. I mean, if you think about this, you could have a spell. For he hath made him, who? Christ, to be sin for us. Who? Jesus, the one who was holy, the one who was pure, the one who was God in the flesh. He became sin for us. Who knew no sin? He never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God. We get his righteousness because he took our sin. Do you understand what a blessing that is? Do you understand what that cost him? Not just his life. For a holy God to take sin upon himself was hard. That was a big deal. But yet he did it willingly for us. Well, think about that enough. Well, he was just Jesus. You know, just what he did. No. Sometimes we sin and we like chuckle at it. We shouldn't, but we don't get it. Sin to God is disgusting. And yet he was willing to take it so we can have his righteousness. That is a good deal. That's something you got to take. And then I'm not going to read the verses for sake of time, the salvation verses from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Listen, we were dead in sin, and the Spirit of God quickened us or brought us back to life because we trusted Christ. And that ought to do something for you right there. Letter C, appreciate goodness. Appreciate goodness. God's been good. Thank you. The song Corinthians, that was a great song. God's been good. Okay? That's really simple. It's good. Because it's true. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you can see God's goodness everywhere. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why is God good? Why does God do good things? Because goodness is his character. It is innately who he is. And so when God is doing good, it is a result of the fact that God is good. So we shouldn't put him on trial. Well, this didn't go my way in my life. You know what? I'm sorry. But that doesn't mean God's not good. That means we live in a sinful world. And by the way, one day we'll be out of this sinful world and we won't have to deal with that nonsense anymore because of him too. And then lastly, purposely remember. Purposely remember. Deuteronomy 6:12. God warning them once they would become prosperous, these former slaves. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's amazing how someone can get, they'll get saved and maybe their life was a little messed up and they get their act together and God gets their life together. And then all of a sudden things start to line up. They don't need God anymore. They don't realize the only reason they're in the spot they are from the spot that they were is because God was good to them in the first place. And once you bail out on God, you're probably going to go back. And even if you don't, shame on you. I mean, God's been good. Well, you know, I got my job. I got my act together. Everything's good. I don't need church anymore. Listen, you need church. You need the Bible. You need God all the time. And God could pull that little rug out from underneath us anytime he wants. I just want to stay on the rug. God's been good. Let's remember that. Let's not be like the children of Israel. And there's the verse in Numbers, you can read it, where they remembered back to Egypt and all they remembered was the fish. I always thought that was a curse, but the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks. Why don't you remember the beating and the sleepless nights and the slave driving and not getting paid for doing work? By the way, do you remember they killed the children? I mean, come on. But that's how we are. We forget. Let's not forget that God is good. Eat your turkey and do have a good time. But let's remember, not just for Thanksgiving, but I just remember all the time, God is good. Men's prayer, we say God is good all the time, and he is. Let's pray.